This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
As elders and as leaders, staff members, we've prayed and we've spoken quite a lot over the last few months, just in terms of where God is steering the congregation. And it takes time to just stop for a moment, listen, and see where we're heading. And this is not a corporate vision casting today. This is not that. Just like you to sort of listen to the promptings of the Spirit in your own heart. See what God has said to you already. And see how you hear what others hear as well. That's the invitation this morning. To respond to what God is saying to us. To respond to where the Lord is taking us. And starting with the worship. Thank you, Dale, Karin. Starting with the worship to this today, I'd like us to read from 2 Peter chapter 3. So therefore, since you know about Jesus' coming judgment, that is the preceding verses, it speaks about how the Lord will return to judge, how He will purify the earth as through fire. And in the letter of Peter, about 45 after Christ, during Vespasian's reign, Emperor Vespasian's reign in Rome, the persecution was quite hectic. There was real fire, real judgment, real persecution. The persecution was quite hectic. So to be a Christian publicly, together with other Christians, is not the safe space that we're feeling yet today. It was necessary for them, but there were real consequences. So there was a falling away. And you'll know that he starts the letter by saying, with the invitation. He starts the letter with the invitation to make every, because Jesus is coming back, he says, make every effort to add to your faith, that which you cognitively believe. He says, let's work it out in your character, in your boldness, in your witness, in confidence, in virtue, and putting on love. So it's an invitation to respond, to add, to grow. Make every effort. It's not a, you know, no one eases into godliness. You know, the goal is to conform to the image of Christ. No one slides into it. No one slouches into it. He says, make every effort. Effort is like real word, not to earn your salvation, but to work out, to let your faith and your born-again experience, to let it become a reality in your character, in your life, in your love, in your relationships, in your vocation, your pursuit of Christ. So that's his invitation at the beginning. And then right at the end, the last verses, he concludes again with the same thing, saying, guys, I know that the persecution, that the temptation and the intimidation of the world, Revelation speaks about the beast and the harlot. Imitate the intimidation of the world for public faith and the lure into lustful lifestyle, into I will have, into Black Friday lifestyle, you know? The lust of I want it all and I want it now. I'm not satisfied until I have another new watch that can tell me that I'm walking or running or jogging. You know, it's like my life cannot, how did I live without this? You know, how did I live without this? It's like, you can't, therefore there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But there are stern warnings. And his stern warning is falling away into worldliness. Two things, because of your fear, intimidation, or because of the lure, the seduction, temptation in the world. And then he says, because of this, know that Jesus is truly coming back. And his coming back will be a reception and a purification as through fire. So for those in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation, but it's possible for you to walk away from him. That's the content of this letter as the others. And then he says, and this is his answer. He says, therefore beware that you fall away. So beware, take note, take stock at the end of the year. I always do it. And if you've been in our small groups, you'll know that it's an invitation constantly to take stock of your faith and of your life, to really take stock, to discern whether you really are in the faith. Are you following Jesus? I have decided to follow Jesus. What have you done since you've decided to follow Jesus? How has your walk been this year? And then he says this, but, and this is our invitation, the goal of our church, that we may know him, become like him, that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an urgency to grow, a real urgency to grow. And like I said earlier, it's effort. It's like an intentionality. It's a growth, just like any athlete, just like any student, just like any farmer, just like any building. There's like, if there's something that you envision, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, Hebrews says, but then run in the same way that he does, walk in his way. For those who say that they are in him must also walk like him, John says. Train yourself in godliness. What are you doing? Are you growing in Christ? At the end of this year, I want to ask you the question that's up there, just for yourself, just to take stock. It's going to be December time. Some of you are going to work in hospitals and shops. The rest of us are going to hopefully not visit your hospital, but visit you in your shop while doing nothing. There's going to be a time of recreation, a time of resting. The question I want to ask you, if you have a time off, is to discern and ask, how have you been growing? How? In which way? Where? How have you grown? Just to reflect over the year, to take stock. And I think what for an eldership, as leaders in the church, what the urgency in our heart is to establish such a community where intentional pursuit and growth in Christ is normative. It's like the climate, the culture. It's normative. We want to establish a church where the community where you come in, and that's normative. You know, Nathan comes from our home, Nathan and Marguerite, and there are a few things that are normative in our home, like cleanliness is next to godliness. I don't have to teach. It's like he's going to pick it up because I'm going to constantly demonstrate and tell him to do that. Where we look after our bodies, we look after our stuff, we love one another, we speak in kindness. The atmosphere in our home, we try to cultivate this affection, warmth, encouragement, all. That's what we intentionally try to do. So this morning when Marguerite jumps in fright, I mean, who does that? Jumps in front while he's trying to brush his teeth, and she takes a gap and wants to brush her teeth first, and Nathan reacts and responds a little bit harsh, and his sister immediately corrects him because that's not what we do in our home, you know. It's like, I didn't have to say that to her, but it's a culture. We definitely don't get it right. We cultivate that, eh? So the same year, to intentionally cultivate a climate where we actually grow in Christ intentionally. And then he says in two ways, and remember the reason why he says we have to grow, it's the same reason in 2020 next year, while you will have to grow in your faith. Because if you don't grow in your faith, you're going to grow away from your faith. How many of us know that? If you've turned 40, you're going to fight this next kilo. Prevent it. Prevention is better than cure. Peter says prevention is better than cure. Don't fall away. Intentionally cultivate. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And he says in two ways, in knowledge of Christ, and knowledge is intimate knowledge. It's to know him. It's where Peter says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, therefore, as we behold him in worship, in adoration, in worship, in contemplation, in intentional knowing him, as we behold him, his face intimately, we become like him. His face, his character reflects on us. We become like him. It's an intentional growing in his likeness. And please, this is not just devotionally. This is not just devotionally, not just in your inner room, not just in the times of worship and prayer. This is as we know him as the worker, as we know him as the father, the family man, as we know him as the includer, as we know him as the friend, as we know him in these things, we become like him. So there's a knowledge, an intimate staring into his eyes, getting to know him, taking on his nature. And secondly, he says to grow in his grace, to grow in his grace. And grace, as Westerners, we receive this as a cognitive thing. Grace is like, grace, zoom, grace, and then we go on. We think that we have grace, or we don't know what to do with grace. But for the Greco-Roman and Judean culture of which Jesus comes, of which Peter writes into here, it means there are certain unforced rhythms of grace, a lifestyle which emulates the lifestyle of Jesus. It's not a cognitive dumping. It's not a classroom setup. But to live in the rhythms of grace in which Jesus lived, to live in the way in which he lived. And that's our intention, to cultivate next year. from next to onwards to cultivate rhythms like this. And some of you have, well, there are some rhythms that we actually have well in our church, and I'll get to that next year. But just to cultivate a lifestyle where we actually intentionally grow in the grace of Christ, because there is a great intimidation and a temptation in the world. We want to behold him, we want to become like him, we want to follow in him, we want to walk in the way in which he walked. How have you grown? The question is, do you have a feeling of what the next step for you is? For those of us older than 20 today, I want to ask you, what's next for you? If you want to grow in the knowledge and the grace of Christ, what's next for you? Do you know? Because as a church, we're going to help you. It really is a heart's desire to actually help you to intentionally grow, to stop, to reflect with you, and to actually intentionally grow in a certain direction, not to clutter your life, but anything. Second question. So the first one is to grow in emulating Christ, more focused on me and my growth and what the Lord is doing in my life and what's necessary for me. And then secondly, just to pan out, to stop looking in the mirror. Do not do the Michael Jackson, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. But to look beyond the mirror, to turn away, stand on the balcony, to look over our city. And I want to invite you just to, in your heads, while I'm reading this text, I want you to look on your community, your neighborhood where you live. Some of you are visiting. I want you to think of the Johannesburg that you come from, to think of the Pretoria, to think of the other city that you come from, but to actually look at your city and to listen to the invitation that Jeremiah wrote to the exiles that were taken to Babylon, to that pagan city. And they've been caused there. They've been forcibly removed from the land to be slaves there. And we've looked at this scripture 4 or 5 times in the year. And we look at the invitation to live, to build where I am, to live where I am, to plant where I am, to connect where I am, to increase, to multiply where I am. And then not to decrease, but to seek the shalom, the welfare, the peace of the city in which you planted. To seek it with all your heart. And to ask yourself, in which way, during this year, if those are the two invitations of the Lord, to grow and emulate him, and as I do that, to be a blessing, to seek the welfare of the city where I am, to bring God's kingdom, not just inside, but from me, to ask, in which way have I brought the peace? Where do I leave Christ's shalom? Where does my life emanate light, move away darkness? Where do I bring people together? Where do I bring reconciliation? Where do I bring healing? Where do I bring purpose, dignity, value? And I want to say that I think we do it way more than we think we do. There's just a difference between accidentally doing it and intentionally doing it. Accidentally doing it or intentionally doing that. Seek the peace of the city. So there's, with those two things in mind, I want to show where we're going to. So, as vandaag, if today is a little bit butterfly style, I'm going to land on a few flowers as the spirit lands, it moves, and as my slides are prepared, those both two simultaneously. If it's too much, if it's too cluttered, I'll take it together in the end, and we're going to make a short video that more concisely summarizes what the heart is. Okay, so this is a vision, is not a destination. We want to grow in a way. So think about your personal growth, intentional growth, and intentionally living for the wellness of my city. In which way do I live that my city experiences the shalom of Jesus to bring the kingdom of God where I am? Not where I am not, but where I am. So two things. As elders, we ask this question. And this is the question that's been burning in our hearts for a while. Rick Russo has been asking this question for us for 4 years, every time he comes from America over to our conference. And this question again, I think this time we heard him. You know, some of us are a bit slow. Then the Lord sends the same man with the same message 4 times. Anyway, we could repeat it probably, but now I think we got it. How can we become the best church, not in the city, not competitive? Not to be the best, better than the other churches, not to try and, well, amazing in God's presence, you know, maybe we should get lasers or smoke machines, not those type of questions, not coffee mugs that has your name written on it in church, not something like that. The question is, how can we become the best church for our city? If the church of God is the hope of the world because Christ lives in it and we are God's redemptive people, how can we as a church become the best church for our community? It immediately moves the church not from introspection, but looking outward. It immediately makes us be planted here for God's sake, here where we are. And again, I'm not saying more activities. I'm saying if we are God's elect ones that have responded to his grace, like many other churches around us, if we look at our city today in 2020 and not try to copy a funky model of church somewhere else or a more organic model of church elsewhere, but to look where we are, how can we position ourselves for God's kingdom here? That's the question. How can we be the best church for? You can ask the same for your family. You can ask the same for your small group. How can we be the best small group for where we are now? And think of the gifts that you are. Then I'd like us to look at the slide up there with the next one and just think about our city. And obviously this is a view of the city from where I sit and from the conversations. You know, loneliness, more than 40% of people indicating, not just here but worldwide, that they are acutely lonely. Since acutely isolated people, we don't know our neighbors' names. We're too afraid to know one. Our neighbors aren't interested in knowing our names, apparently, but they're also lonely. Acute loneliness. You can even be part of a family but still be lonely, like seriously. Or people are sitting and families are failing. Marriages are failing. Children are in trouble everywhere, like a sincere. And I want to say that's something where we have responded to in some way. Or people being stuck in their career. They have this desire, this vocation, this purpose from God. They've got this thing that burns in them, but they're stuck and they don't know how to go further. They've got this calling of God for maybe this one thing, or they just have this dream. Their giftedness is so good in this area, but they're stuck somewhere and they can't move forward. And I'm going to say your work is not less spiritual than your family, is not less spiritual than your devotional prayer time, because we created in the garden with, in the likeness of Christ, with a purpose, and with a relationship. So those three are core identity parts of our being. My career is going nowhere. People asking, what's my purpose? Finances. Both finances and time. I mean, it's Black Friday. People are really excited, but they woke up with a purchasing hangover on Saturday morning because this is just too bad. What? Why did I do that again? Why did I do that again? And maybe you didn't even go to Black Friday because you just decided to have 100% saving and stayed at home. But maybe you just didn't go because you're so in trouble already. Like your lifestyle and your expenses are just way too, you don't have handles on that. You're drowning in your debt, or you're drowning in your calendar and your time. I mean, you're just not getting everywhere. Overwhelmed financially. Stewardship. You're not in control of your life. You're absolutely not in control of your emotions, your life, your stuff. It's like you so wish you were. And I want to say, if we look beyond the walls of this church and look inside of this church, that is a real, real need for people. And God made us in the core of who we are as stewards to keep and to cultivate that which entrusted to us, our abilities, our money, our time and stuff. It's really a big need out there. It's really a massive thing. Or we're looking at a community in a city which, Michael came a few weeks ago and he shared with us. And I've been journeying with a few people that are not white and Afrikaans intentionally. And we really struggle, not just in South Africa, but all over the world, to get along with people that are different from us. We do struggle. Everyone. People struggle to get along. And if the core of the church, if Paul says, then this is your ministry, you have received from Christ the ministry of reconciliation, then this is the one place where reconciliation should be seen and should be facilitated. Beyond our own community, but it should be something inside of us, that we really actually get along well, that we do live in harmony. Christ reigns in reconciliation. Those are just a few things. There are many other things we can put around. Does he look like Wally to you as well? The glasses. I'm thinking, well, it's not an alien. It's just a camera on a hill, eh? Binoculars, vision binoculars, not Wally. Anyway. How can we be the best church for our community? Then the question coming after that is like, okay, how can we form redemptive partners with God, with what God is doing now, with his reign? If Jesus does come to foster a reign of peace, that is both peace in our mind and reconciliation between people, of righteousness and justice, and a community of joy, then intentionally, we want to help you. We want to facilitate that in your life, you actually grow in the likeness of Christ like that. We really want to help you to grow in that way. We want to help you to facilitate, to grow, to in this community, to cultivate, to keep and to cultivate this redemptive partners for God's sake. When we prayed about this building, we moved into this building about 5 years ago, ne? Help me? 5 years.
Five
years ago. This is one of the words that the Lord said, that you're a city, you're a light to the world. A city on the hill cannot be hidden. It's a call to the church, it's a call to disciples. And what we mean with that, maybe just the next slide, is what Leslie Newbegin said about the church. That the church should be a community that is a sign. Where people can, if we want to talk about the kingdom, what is the kingdom of God like? The best way is to witness it. That means a sign. That people look at this and go like, okay, I see something of your dynamic relationship. I get what you're about. I get what the kingdom is about. They can understand it because it's manifest in relationships and in lifestyles of people. This is what the kingdom of God is like. Wow. Secondly, he said it's a foretaste. It's like people can come inside, spend time with us, fellowship with us, be in our relationships, and taste and see that the Lord is good. Experience something of righteousness, peace, and joy in action. Experience something of God's grace. What is the life that Jesus lived? What is the kingdom life that truly is without yoke, where his yoke is easy, where it's not a burden, but it's a lifestyle that is simple, that is effortless, that really brings shalom, peace. It is well with my soul. What is that lifestyle? And then thirdly, he said the church is not just a witness or a visible community where we can experience it, but it's an agent of God's transformation. Where just because the church is planted in an area like Daniel and his friends in Babylon, that the kingdom of God actually manifests, that even within this pagan empire, something of God's righteousness, peace, and joy is manifest, so that everyone can't just see but can experience the blessings of the reign of God in the area. That's what Leslie Newbegin said. I want to have what you're having. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So, moving to the little cards. If you haven't received a card, we've got some cards at the back. This is a little bit of vision casting. And if I say that I'm slightly excited, it's not just because I'm a charismatic pastor and I have to say that. I really am excited. I kind of feel to say, I think more clear than ever before, I understand what church should be. Have you noticed that? Maybe you've been married for 30 years or 20 years or 15 years and you go like, okay, I think I get what it means to love someone. I think I get what it means. Maybe you're a parent of a teenager and you go like, I think I know what God's love is like. Yes, your experience. Because you received it from a teenager, no, the other way around. But I think for the first, not the first time, but more clearly than ever, I understand something of what the church should be, what a community should be where God is served. And I would like you to look at this. So moving in the first place, we want to, maybe that slide, just one down, Yolanda. Donkey. Maybe that slide, the cards that you have in your hand, is a heart is to cultivate the community, relationships, where people intentionally grow in the knowledge of Christ. And what we mean is, and the likeness of Christ, and what we mean is we want to help everyone in church not all at once, but systematically and patiently, where you are, where the Spirit is moving you, according to the prompting of the Lord, where you are at, not where we are at, because that's the problem that we've been having. We receive words of the Lord speaking about justice, and someone is sitting back there battling cancer, and someone is going through a divorce, and someone is just trying to get his company started. And I know the Lord is speaking to the church about justice, social justice. And these guys are going through something, and the Lord is walking with them in that. So it's a bit difficult to facilitate everyone simultaneously. But I know that there are a few areas in the Word where the Lord says this is the domains of kingdom, in one sense, one view of it. So to really foster and to intentionally pursue Christ, to actually grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ in these six areas around there. First of all, just in cultivating a real communion with God. If you're a small group leader, you've heard this probably 50 times in the last year, because we had 50 weeks. What can we pray for? What's going on in your life? Now, I'm struggling with my quiet time. Maybe you are the one who always says, I'm struggling with my quiet time. Then, for God's sake, and I mean that for God's sake, how about we stop everything else? We stop everything else. And your greatest yearning is just to enjoy effortless communion, you know? Effortless rhythms of grace. You just want to enjoy communion with God. We want to help everyone in church to actually enjoy real communion with God. Like rich, rewarding, that you actually know Him and become like Him. That you have a time where you can hear His voice, where you can effortlessly discern what the Lord is doing. Where it's not difficult, where it's not you alone, but everyone who feels on the same page, just go like, okay, for me, for this semester, for this 6 months, for this year, I just want to devote my time to just build healthy rhythms of communion with God that will be rhythms for the rest of my life. Or maybe you have a relationship with God, but you just feel the Holy Spirit inviting you to come closer. I want to show you more. I want to show you more. And you go like, where is that group of people who will journey with me that I may truly commune with God to know Him and become like Him? That's our invitation. Or maybe you're the person who just came through a divorce, or maybe mom died, or maybe just, you don't know why, but you can't get over that trauma that happened with you at school. And you find in every relationship, in every space, you find yourself falling back there. Then maybe self at the bottom there is like healing, first of all. They can journey with you until this is done, you know? Like Naaman, we baptized you seven times. Baptized. We won't really, for those visiting, won't really baptize you seven times. It's a figure of speech. Where you dip until you're done, until you're healed. Where you cleanse of your leprosy, until you're cleansed. We walk and we journey with you until your heart is healed. So you can get on with life for God's sake. Where you can step out boldly and not be afraid anymore, but to live not in reaction, but to live positively. Imagine that. Or with that bottom one as well, just to grow in, God, why am I wired this way? Why am I so strange? And you go like, it's not just you, it's other people. Everyone in the room is strange, you're the only normal one. We go like, just to discern, to walk with Marianne in the group just for a long period, not just to do a short course on relational intelligence, but to grow in self-awareness. How God, to look in the mirror of the Bible and see, how did God weave me uniquely? Why? Just once for all, to settle that. You can come back to that again. Or maybe just the stewardship thing, self. Your money, your relationships, your emotions, your finances are out of whack. You have no control. You're like a, like the Bible says, a wave being tossed, like a piece of weed being tossed in the waves. Your life is ungrounded. Just to say, okay, let's hang here. Let's not tell you about stewardship. Let's journey, and that's all we do for 6 months until you know what's happening in your finances, you have control of your emotions, you're intentionally investing your times and your energy to where God called you to be, where you're a life that is grounded, going somewhere. Can you imagine that? Imagine that. That's what we're dreaming about. That's what we're working towards. Or maybe for you, the top right hand part, is that right? Yeah. Top right hand part, community. Maybe you're there in the community zone and you're just really lonely. Or maybe you're not lonely, you just really feel that you want to be known by love, and you look at reading the Bible, and the Holy Spirit says to you, your life is known by the love for yourself. And you're like, welcome to our world. And you go like, no, I want to cultivate real friendships where my friends are not all educated white Afrikaans. Maybe God is calling you to enjoy fellowship and relationship which is not characterized by class, by money, or by your funky stuff that you want to do. To cultivate relationships for the sake of relationship, where your life can be known by love. Where we grow to really be inclusive, where people can look into the church and go like, wow, that there's something. I see a picture. I had an emotional moment in a ballet concert yesterday. My daughter's ballet concert, not for that reason. Sy is prachtig, sy is amazing, jy almal weet dit, maar jy almal se dogters is ook. And I'm looking at, it wasn't Marguerite's class, it was another class. We're sitting in the theater and little, no one's getting stuff right on the stage. Juffrou has to ballet with them. Just 8 little girls, if you've ever been at one of those concerts. And they're doing it, but I was emotional. There were 10 in that group. I was emotional, and this, I'm just speaking bluntly. I saw a glimpse of the kingdom there. I saw girls all dressed the same, all dancing. Everyone's unique, and everyone's trying to, in the dances, look for mommy. You know, everyone's the same, distracted. But I saw this little Chinese girl dancing next to our Durbanville peoples. A girl wasn't white, and 2 Khoza girls dancing, and they're all dancing together, and they don't notice that they're different. They don't notice. They notice that they're different, but it doesn't bother them. It's a glimpse of the kingdom. We really want to help to cultivate community which is beyond class, race, status. And up there, obviously, is family stuff. We really want to help people, like actually help, not to bring you to a, let's have a quick encounter about a weekend thingy, about marriage. It is helpful. But if your marriage is, if there's space or a need in your marriage or in your parenting to really actually grow in love, to not hear something and go home and go like, that was insightful. And tomorrow you're still throwing cups because you're a Greek family. You go like, no, let's fix this. To journey with people that are on the same page. We say, I'm here. I want to see healthy growth in my marriage. I want to see and feel what does the kingdom of God look like where there is real reconciliation, peace, where there's a right treating of one another, where there's joy in my home. Facilitate to walk for 6 months together to grow. What are the rhythms that cultivate? Don't give me knowledge, because up until now I've noticed that knowledge doesn't help me. What are the rhythms, lifestyle, that actually produces shalom in my marriage? I'm really looking forward to that one. And then the others down here, how do we relate to the lost and the least of these? A demonstration of the kingdom, the great compassion. Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself, to give a cup of cold water to one who is poor or in need, or maybe just the gospel to proclaim, to go into all the world to proclaim the gospel, to grow in confidence and compassion, to actually live a lifestyle that is a life of witness. So it's a rhythm, but to force everyone in the church there now will be the dumbest thing that we can do, because I've grown aware that we really are of different types. So last year, at the end of the year, the Lord said to us as elders while we were praying, 3 visions, same word. He said, consider the type. What is this person like? Where is God taking this person? And consider the phase. Where in his growth phase in this area is he? Let's walk from here. Invite him in, but walk from here. Not a class, not a thingy. Let's dwell in rhythms together to actually grow so we can have a witnessing lifestyle in compassion and in the Great Commission Democrat. And then obviously the last 2 that the Lord spoke to us this year, 2 big things about... Nee, come on, nou teruggaan. Ek het sommer deur gepraat. A picture paints 1,000 words. I get by slides gespaar. Neighbor to loving the neighbor. To actually, I mean... Dale and Karin just moved into a new house now, so they have an excuse not to know their neighbors. Francois en sy gesin het nou hier aangekom 2 weke terug, en hulle ken al baie mense in hulle buurt. I'm not going to ask you who lives next to you, what's happening in their lives. I'm not going to ask you, does it bother you that you really don't know? Does it bother you more that you actually don't care? What if we are a church that actually become a church that actually really love our neighbor as we love ourselves? What if we are to become a neighbor that actually does that? And it's an invitation from the Lord. But it's not just your neighbor. It's not just your community. But how can we be planted in your community for the shalom of God? I mean, we do work in urban, amazing work. We do amazing work in Delft. We do work in the Himalayas. We do work in Malawi as a church. We do work in other churches. But I don't know my neighbors. But if the Holy Spirit's stirring that, if, when the Holy Spirit stirs that, I want to say that you won't be alone. There'll be a group of people that will journey with you, pray with you, work through it, and so you can actually bring good relationships, heart connections to your neighbors. Because if that's where the Lord is at, when you say, then stop everything else. Do that. For God's sake, do that. Be planted in your community for the good of your community. Get to know your people. Love them. Not so they can become Christians, but because you're a Christian. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then the last one, work there. We saw like a leadership institute. That's sort of the goal there, a leadership institute, where we actually help you in your work. The Lord has been speaking to us as a church that just about our work and our influence in society. God has been speaking to us in that way, that God is calling us to actually equip people for the work which the Lord has prepared them. I had 26, 27 interviews with people in our church listening to how did you end up in Eskom, Christelle, in 2019? Tell me your story. And she would tell the story of God in her life, and God is part of the story. That the Lord opened up and the Lord called and the Lord placed her there. And then the Lord said to her, this is the department. And she's been working there. And it's amazing. Talking to Marika about Vodacom. Tell me your story. How did you get there? And God. And then the question is, if the Lord called you there, what can I do there? And please, I don't mean have a Bible study and a prayer group at church only. Have that at work. It's great if you have that. But maybe God actually wants doctors, engineers, teachers, scientists. Maybe God actually wants artists. Maybe God actually desires people who build in their community, consultants to help people to build a civilization that is a society of righteousness, peace, and joy where his kingdom actually manifests. The question is, how can I help you gain greater influence in that? How can I help you? And the courses like that, the type of courses that you usually pay lots of money for. And our heart's desire is to cultivate in every one of these spheres. I mean, the Wellness Institute at the back or the Spiritual Institute. How can we help? And you know what's amazing about this story? If we say this is a sign, a foretaste, and an agent of the kingdom, you know what's amazing? If you have these desires, if these are your desires that you can relate to, I bet the guy who works next to you have the same desire. And please, this is not a trick to get people into church. This is like, how can we be the best church for society? Because if there are people here, moms and dads that are here with young kids, and you feel absolutely overwhelmed about society. Absolutely. So our community is characterized by anxiety, fear, and depression, right? Yeah. By debt and life out of control, by isolation and segregation, not the kingdom. So what does the kingdom of God look like? What if we are a church that actually addresses those things in your life, but we open it up and say, hey, if you're here and your life and your marriage is falling apart, I'm not asking you to get buy a set of our orange underwear, chauffeur underwear. I'm not asking you to, you know, sign in for life. I'm not asking you for any of those things. How about we exist for the good of our society, that the kingdom of God may come, that families may be reconciled, that people may no longer live in fear, that people may no longer be enslaved to debt. How about we are a church that actually liberates those who are bound and actually brings shalom, to preaches the good news that surely this is how God reigns, the gospel to our people. Our God reigns, the kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy where we are. This is what we're dreaming about. This is what we're praying about. This is what we're working towards. I'm going to show you something. I think this is a good moment to stop, but I'm just feeling one more. Can you daar afhardloop tot by die cube? Daar's 'n so rooi lyne. This is baie cluttered slide. Bad design. I can't help it. So Richard Osmer wrote a book on teaching for faith. How do we teach congregations for faith? It's a book that he wrote in the 90s. Baie lank gelede. Most of you were born then. Amazing. Tonight, they're going to go like the 90s. Isn't that ancient literature? Yeah. But when Jesus invites us to learn the unforced rhythms of grace, when we speak about these things, please, please do not hear that I'm saying courses. Please do not hear that I'm saying classroom lectures. Will there be education? There will be education. But the point is not to sit nog 'n kursus hê, nog 'n dingetjie nie. It's how can we teach you, how can we train you is the right word, into a lifestyle where you actually progress in influence and competence, excellence and integrity at work. Daniel, how can we teach you a lifestyle that produces that? Not how do we give you knowledge so that you can become that. You get that? How can I actually teach you the rhythm of a healthy marriage and family with young kids? How can we actually train you in this lifestyle that hearts stay connected? This is a heart. This is our desire. How can I teach you a lifestyle where you grow in discernment about Jesus in your pain, in your life, in your disappointments? Because to come to a course every time to get healed is not the point. But to grow, to walk with Jesus in the way in which Jesus did, to deal with hurts, pains, disappointment, betrayal, that's useful. That's what we're going to go to. He says that I want to teach resilient faith, like actually faith that actually helps one. So he says, Richard Osmer says that will include faith is beliefs. It means there are real things that we should know, Bible school type of stuff, things like this, teachings. There are things that we know. It starts there, the kingdom. Jesus teaches the kingdom. But then Jesus journeys with his disciples so they can see the kingdom in his life working out. And they go like, okay, can you now teach us how to pray? I mean, you've got something that we don't have. You've got a connection with the Father that I don't have. Show me. Show me how to do it. I want to see it real in your life. I want to trust it. Faith is trust. I want to trust that this is real. I want to see it in your life. I want to hear it. Small groups are so powerful with this, journeying with people. And then he said that it's more than that. It comes to a commitment where you actually don't hear that it's more blessed to give than to receive. But the thing that pushes you over the edge to actually do it, sacrificially give, to see if you really get joy, is to see God at work in your own life. Reflection, journaling. Working through. It doesn't have to be a journal, but a reflection. To see how has God been active in my life? I see God active in your life. I trust that the kingdom is real. Wow, God has been active in my life. It causes me confidence to actually try this, to do this, and to taste the fruit thereof. And then faith is mystery, eh? We sit with people who believe that God is good and that God heals, and yet had cancer this year. We know that God provides, and yet we have people that struggled with money this year. Faith, how do we cultivate resilient faith that when we see what we see and what we believe is different, but we're convinced that this is absolutely true and we continue to do the right thing? How do we do that? It's amazing. This is what we want to invite you into. Unforced rhythms of grace, a church that actually proclaims and demonstrates the kingdom of God to our people here, where we live, where people can taste and see that God is good, where people can receive this easy yoke from God. Maybe the next slide will just close with a scripture. Are you tired? You've known this translation of Eugene Peterson, the Message translation. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest, a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch me, how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Doesn't that invite you into, I don't want to say not just you, I'm going to say our community, because we're not so much different from our community around us. We're not so much different. How can we learn rhythms where we can stay connected with one another in love, stay connected with God, where we live unselfishly, where we live inclusively, where hospitality and kindness, where we have time in our life for these things? So I'm going to cultivate and train that, where you're not constantly stressed out about your calendar or your finances, or about frustrated about the purpose where God has called you to be, but we can actually walk this road. Wouldn't that be amazing? Are you excited with me? I feel really stirred in my heart that the Lord wants to do this in our life.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.